This is our first week of Advent, and we are going to be going through the servant songs in Isaiah. This message, this reading that you just heard, is the first of all the servant songs in the book of Isaiah. You might be going, I know nothing about Isaiah. I don't know about this book that you're talking about. Tell us what in the world Isaiah is and what these servant songs are. Well, I'd love to tell that to you. The servant songs are four poems in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, and he was prophesying toward the people of God, towards Israel. And within these prophecies that he gave, there is messianic prophecies. Messianic prophecies mean that this prophecy about a particular person that God said was going to come to save his people. We actually have to go back before Isaiah to even understand that. Back in Genesis, God makes the world. He brings it into existence with his voice. He just speaks it. Everything is created that's created, and he makes this perfect place called the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, he makes two people, Adam and Eve. And he gives them this command to be fruitful, to multiply. He gives them this blessing. And man, everything's great. He tells them, hey, just don't do this one thing. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything, every other fruit you can eat of. Well, Eve and Adam, they disobey God and they eat of this fruit of this tree. And sin comes into the world. And God had told them, hey, when you sin, it's going to break everything. It's going to break your life, actually. If you do this, the day you eat of it, you're going to die, he tells them. Well, a death comes into the world. Sin comes into the world. And our relationships with each other are broken. Our relationships with God are broken. Man, our relationships with ourself is broken. Just everything breaks. And it's interesting, the first thing God does after sin comes into the world, he comes and he gives a promise that he's going to send one to save everyone. He's going to send the Son. And this Son is actually going to destroy sin, death, and Satan. It's pretty amazing. The first time we mess up, the first time we sin and death comes into the world, what does God do? He just pours grace on his people. He says, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to bring the Son that's going to come. Well, that theme, that idea of a Son, is throughout the whole Old Testament. That's what the whole Old Testament is about. And that person, the Son, is known as the Messiah. So when I say there's messianic prophecies, these four songs are messianic prophecies, it's talking about that Son that's going to come. And in Advent, you might know this already if you've been going to church, but if you're unclear, it's all about the Son of God that came. He was the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So these servant songs are about Jesus. They're actually telling the people of God, hey, when the Messiah comes, this is who the Messiah is going to look like. This is how he's going to act. And very interestingly, it's pretty unexpected. A lot of prophecy in the Bible is about this king that's just going to make everything right, rule the world. He's going to be this king that has this perfect kingdom. Well, in these Psalms, we're actually going to see that the messianic Messiah is not just a king, he's actually a servant. And not only a servant, he's going to be one that suffers. And we're going to see these themes for the next 4 weeks of these Psalms bring us into who Jesus is, who he cared about, and what he did. And so this whole Advent season, we're going to go through these four songs, and there's four of these in the book of Isaiah. And Jesus would have known these Psalms. I mean, these songs. He would have, when he read his Old Testament, his Bible, he would have been seeing his own path as a little boy. This is the way God's going to bring me. It's an amazing thing. Today, in this passage, we're going to see three things. One, that this servant, this Messiah, is going to bring justice. He's got a strong relationship with justice. He's not just a servant, he's actually a king. Kings bring justice with them. He's a servant king. Then we're going to see who he cares about. And we're going to really see that he cares for people that are on their last leg, that are suffering, that are broken. And then finally, we're going to see that the servant himself is one that suffers. And it seems like that might even influence why he cares for those that suffer. It's because he suffered. Man, this series, this every year, there's a chance at Advent to remember the greatness of our God in being not just the God who's high and lifted up, but he's the God that goes to the lowest place. Somehow in Jesus Christ, we have our great God become this baby that's born in a manger, not in a palace, but in a stall. And we're going to be able to see his greatness in this series. So I want to pray for us. I want to jump into this servant song from Isaiah. And then we're going to just talk about what this servant is going to do, what Isaiah and what the prophecy and what God is telling us. Here's what my Savior, my Messiah is going to look like. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are the God that has come, that you have sent your Son in the strangest of ways, that you became humble, Jesus Christ, and that you cared for a bunch of broken people, and that you came to save us from our sin. God, would you help us see you in this passage in just an amazing way? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Advent is all about this, the angelic voices too that you see in the book of Luke. These angels show up when Jesus is born, and the first thing they say is, hey, we've got great news of great joy. Unto you, all of you, is born a Savior. This is what we want to see. In this servant king, we want to see this great news of great joy. He is a suffering servant, and in that, man, we can have incredible joy. So let's look at this passage. Let me read verse 1 for you. This is talking about this servant. This is in Isaiah 42. It says this, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." So here's the first thing we see is this servant, he is going to be brought forth. God is going to bring him. And when he comes forth, he's not just going to be just coming with gifts. He's going to be coming with a very particular thing. And you see this repeated and repeated in this passage. He's going to come with justice. The servant of God, this suffering servant that we're going to see in the book of Isaiah over these 4 weeks, is going to come and be a God and a servant of justice. So the question is, what is this justice? The Hebrew word here is mishpat, and this word means a little bit more than the way we think about it or the way you could think about it. So for some of us, when we think about justice, you might think about the kid in the store that steals a candy bar, he does the wrong thing, goes to the car, he gets caught by his mother, and what does his mother do? She disciplines. She's gonna do this rectifying justice. This is what's called rectifying justice. A wrong has been committed, and the mom goes, you gotta bring that candy bar into the store, apologize to the manager, and then you're gonna get in trouble. I'm gonna punish you. Rectifying justice, so to a lot of us, is what we kind of naturally think about justice. When we think about injustice, a lot of us do think, and we should, think about wrongs being committed. That guy stole from this person. That person was attacked, was brutalized. And we think about rectifying justice. Well, mishpat, this Hebrew word, does include that. The king, this suffering servant, this one who is a king and bringing justice with him, is going to deal with all these injustices where wrongs are committed, and he's going to rectify them. But there's more than that. If you ask me, Tanner, describe a healthy body. Talk to me about that. It would be when everything works together the right way. It's when each part and piece is working together in the way that it should. That's similar when the way the Bible's justice talks about justice. It's actually when everything in society, the concept of justice that's here, is when everything in the world is working together the way that it should be. So it's not just that guy stole from another person. This now is, how are we treating every person in our society? The Bible, over and over, including the book of Isaiah, God calls out his people for not loving a few different types of people. One that God really doesn't like is, he says, care for the widows, care for the orphans, care for the refugees, the foreigners are a piece, and care for those who can't care for themselves, so maybe disabled. It is talked about in the Bible and the Old Testament. God comes down on his people for those issues. And you know what the Bible calls caring for those people? It's not just charity or giving. Caring for those people is what the Bible calls justice. You're demanded. We are demanded to care for all of society. A just society is one that cares for those on the fringes, those that get left behind. This mishpat is saying, basically, when the servant is going to bring justice, he is going to make everything that's wrong, not just the illegal or the pain, the painful things that we do to each other, but even as a whole society, when he brings justice, he's going to make it where disabled are cared for. Those that have left homes and they're foreign in your community, they're taken care of. Those that don't have fathers are cared for and provided for. I mean, it's amazing that God even titles himself that he is the father to the fatherless. Think about that. This is the justice that is being talked about. But the question that we have to go to is, okay, so he's going to bring justice with him. How is he going to do that? But also, we need to ask, why is there injustice in the world? Why are things broken? Why is society broken? Why are there people that are not cared for in society? Why do we steal from each other? Why do we kill? Why do we do these things? The Bible goes back to, the original story, which is sin entered into the world. Injustice exists in the world because sin exists in the world, and it exists in all of us. Each one of us have sinned, and this sin has broken our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, our relationship with creation, the way the world works has been broken through sin, and even our relationship with ourselves. Sin is the root. So when this passage is being, when God is speaking to his people in Isaiah, in and through Isaiah, and he says, behold, my servant's coming, and he's going to bring justice, the way he's going to do it is he's going to get the root. He's got to attack sin itself. The way justice and everything's made right is through Christ and the Messiah dealing with sin. That's why injustice exists, because sin is in the world. He's not just going to make sure everything's going right in this world and not deal with the root of our problem. The servant is going to come and he's going to do a different thing. He's got to take the way that he is going to get rid of all injustice is he's going to take all of it. He's going to put every single injustice on himself. That is an amazing thing to think about. Every injustice is going to be dealt with. The servant is going to take all of it. And in taking all the injustice in this world, all the sin upon himself, we can be made right. The servant, the way the servant is going to work is in that manner. And this was different. This is something that even when Jesus showed up on earth, people were not expecting. They were expecting a conquering king to come in and he's going to set up this rule. He's going to set up this kingdom where he comes. God's going to come. He'll be born in a palace. All you commoners, you won't be able to see him. You know, because the guards won't let you in the palace. He'll be this awesome guy. He'll come to power and he'll literally demand justice from all. He will enforce justice. No, Jesus didn't come to a palace. He came to the lowest place. I mean, that's amazing that he got born not even in a hotel room. He was put into a trough for his first bed. You know, the cool thing about that is, you know what? Anybody could come see him. The angels go announce it to shepherds, the poorest. Say, go check out, your Savior is born. In Advent, God invites us to come to like the low places. To go where he comes, to look for him not in the high places, but to look for him in the low. He was going to come in this different manner where he was going to take all injustice in a way that a servant would. This is his servant. I mean, it's amazing. That goes on to tell us, who did he care about? Look at what verses 2 and 3 of Isaiah 42 say. It says, the servant, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. So there's two pictures in this passage. Where it talks about who he comes for. When he comes, he's not going to like just put it out there. He's not going to cry aloud, but he's going to go to two particular people. And it says this, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. You might not know what those pictures are. You might not remember what a reed is. It's a type of plant. And then a wick, remember, those are candles. So it's like this candle that's barely burning is one type of person. And the other type of person is what's called this bruised reed, this plant that's bruised. And for a lot of us, or I don't know, for a lot of you, you may bruise easily. I grew up with three boys, a girl in the house, like my sister, and we were wild. So every like morning you could look down at your legs and I would like have bruises that I didn't even know where they came from. I would be like, I don't remember how they got there, but they're on my legs. And it's like from playing, from whatever you're doing, you get a bruise. That is not the bruise that's being talked about here. When it talks about a bruised reed, the Hebrew, the original language is actually saying this plant that's almost been killed. It's been wounded in such a way that it feels like death is at its door. It's about to die. So when it says the suffering servant, who he's going to come to is a bruised reed. He's not going to break. He's not going to just prune it and just throw it in the trash. It's talking to those that you could almost use the word death blow. Those who feel like they've been struck in such a manner that they're not sure that they're going to make it. God's telling us the servant, his servant that's going to come, this Messiah, who he's going to go to are people that think they can, you know, they're barely a flame. There's barely a flame of life in them. And they've been wounded to the point where they're just, they know they're broken. This is one thing I love about our God, is he goes to the low places to see the low people. The servant, Jesus Christ, has come to be with those people. Some of you, you know when, like, you hear the word bruised reed, that's me. That faintly burning wick, that's me. I feel like I'm barely going. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. Some of you have been crushed to the point of you feel like death. That's either happened by sin done to you, something has been terribly done against you, or for some of us, we've got this guilt and shame on us because we have sinned in such a way that we feel like we're crushed by our own sin towards another person. Some of us are crushed by our circumstances, the way we find, why is the world looking like the world is looking right now? How could this be happening to me? Some of you feel like a lot of your crushing is just self-inflicted. I'm just crazy. I'm just broken. I'm just messed up. I love that our God, who he comes to, are those people. He comes to the bruised reed. He comes to the faintly burning wick, that candle that's almost out of life. And you know why he comes to them? To take their bruising. The suffering servant, what he was going to do was the wound that that person has in their life, he was going to take those on himself. He was going to join the wounded. He was going to love them, to come to the broken and heal them. A psalm that we're going to get to, one of the servant songs, is going to tell us how bruised reeds get right. And Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. The suffering servant in this passage comes to the broken. He loves the broken. It is amazing to look at how he comes. I'm a sports fan. So one picture of this that I think is awesome. It's so cool sometimes when great people do things for what you think are low people. You may hate him, but LeBron James, right? If you're a sports fan, you know, a lot of you are like, why are you talking sports? I don't even understand sports. LeBron James, he's great at basketball. He might not be the greatest, whatever you want to say, but he's great at basketball. There's this picture that I love, or this video that I love about him. When great people do very humble things, we kind of think of them as like greater. There's a picture, he's at a Boston Celtics game. And I think there's this man that has cerebral palsy. And he just goes up to him and he like hugs him. And it's this moment of this great man comes to this kind of low, just a normal fan, and like does something incredibly kind. Some of you know that maybe within your business, maybe your CEO, you know, he's risen to power and he doesn't just like, it doesn't all just go to his head and he's just rude, but he does small things and kind things for the small. You know, when presidents, there's a picture of President Obama that I love where he's letting this child touch his hair. when great people do kind of humble things, doesn't that warm you to them? Oh, wow, this great person loves the lowly. It can't get any more extreme than Jesus Christ. Jesus left heaven and the riches of God, and he came to the lowest of the low. He came to the bruised reed, the fainting wicks that are almost out, and he came to give them life. This is the suffering servant. This is an amazing God. Look at how he loves us. Look at how he loves you. He has come for you, for me. This servant is amazing. And finally, look at this in verse 4. The passage tells us he will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. Our servant, Jesus Christ, when he came, he was going to bring it everywhere. When it says the coastlands wait for his law, that's actually talking about you and I. It's talking about one day the ends of the earth are going to know of this guy's greatness. The interesting thing here is this is the first song of the servant in Isaiah, and it gives us a little hint of what he's going to do. And actually in every single song that you're going to see in this series, more and more detail comes out about how he's going to deal with the world. And we get the first hint of it here, which is actually in the line that he will not grow faint or be discouraged. The interesting thing is the Hebrew word for be discouraged is the same word that's found in bruised reed. So the wound, that death blow, is showing up here. He will not grow faint, or he's taking some sort of death blow on him. We translate it, he's not going to get discouraged. What we see here is an allusion to the cross, that he is going to receive this same bruising that kind of all of us have, but that's not going to stop him. Sin, death, Satan will not stop him. He will not grow faint. He will not be discouraged. This death blow he will take for us, and in the cross of Jesus Christ, we find our healing. This is what's showing up in this passage. It is an amazing reality that God himself has come to be broken. This is what he even tells his people. Is he said, I didn't come to have servants. I came to be a servant. And I came to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus himself today wants you to respond to him. He is the servant that is going to make all things right. As Jim stated even earlier in Revelation, he's going to make it all right. He's making, as the Jesus Storybook Bible says, every sad thing untrue. He is coming and he is doing this. He is the God who is bringing justice with him, and he did it in a way that is so abnormal. He is the king that did not demand justice. He took all injustice. He is the king that has come for the broken. He has come for you. This is what I would like to ask you. How do we apply this passage? What do we deal with this servant song? How do I take this? Let me give you three ways. One, see what he's doing. Would you believe that God sees every injustice in this world and know that he cares about it? The one thing I would want you to do this week is look in your own life. Look at where injustice has happened against you and look at the sin in your life. See it. God knows it. Believe that he does. What do you do with that? Secondly, know that he heals. This passage is talking about he's going to go to the brokenhearted and he's going to bind their wounds. The bruised reed and the fainting wicks, he's going to heal them. So secondly, would you believe that he heals the broken? Those areas that you see in your life when you reflect, would you give them to the God who heals you? And would you allow him to meet you in those places where you feel completely wounded? Let God meet you there. And then third, would you know that he befriends you? That this great God, the God who made the universe, the God who spoke all things into existence, he's the lion and he's the lamb. He is in his, like as a lamb, he is so gentle with you. He loves you. He cares for you. And know that also he's a lion, that anything that comes against you, he will attack. He will destroy. This God, that the God-man, Jesus Christ, has come to befriend you. Listen to this quote. I was reading a sermon by Jonathan Edwards this week to help me kind of think through some of this. Listen to this from Jonathan Edwards. He says, "Would you choose for a friend a person of great dignity? It is a thing taking with men to have those for their friends who are much above them, because they look upon themselves honored by the friendship of such. Thus, how taking would it be with an inferior made to the object of the dear love of some great and excellent prince? But Jesus is infinitely above you and above all the princes of earth, for he is the King of kings. So honorable a person as this offers himself to you in the nearest and dearest friendship." And now he's going to move. He's not only great, but he's good. Look at this. "And would you choose to have a friend not only great, but good? In Christ, infinite greatness and infinite goodness meet together. They receive luster and glory from one another. His greatness is rendered lovely by his goodness. The greater anyone is without goodness, so much greater evil. But when infinite goodness is joined with infinite greatness, it renders a great or a glorious and adorable greatness." I love this. There is no greater than God himself, and he came to befriend you. Would you believe that? That he is not only in his greatness just great, he's actually good to you too. He has come to be your friend and pour his goodness upon you. The suffering servant is the one that was coming to take all your sin. And he was going to take it on himself. All your wounds, he was taking it on himself. And by his stripes, we're healed. Let's believe in him. Let's put our faith in him. Let's see what he's done. Believe that he will heal. And believe that he has come to befriend us. Would you do that? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have come. That you are the God that has not left us alone, that you have come incredibly close to us, that in our brokenness, you have actually come to heal us. God, would you help us in these next messages, God, to see what you do and how you act. God, would you let us worship you in your greatness and your goodness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.